Record? It's not on the script. We're deviating from this, so we have to.
Oh, come on. Now, where's my microphone?
Oh, yeah, I don't. It's in the other room in the closet. Want me to go get it?
Go to the record.
To what record?
Go to record.
Record.
Right before Plunder's Girls.
We already did that.
All right, let's do the Orson Welles record then.
Yeah. Why aren't these? There we go.
This is halftime, right, ladies and gentlemen?
Halftime, Orson.
That's right.
Half-assed.
Right.
What?
Beg your pardon?
Please do the Orson.
You asked for it.
Well, should we go on?
Sure, why not? I mean, look, this
broken
rhythm.
Look, I've got something interesting here. Look.
Just like real life.
The Lord God planted a garden east of Whittier at a place called
Yorba Linda. Oh, I thought it was God.
And a child, Richard, there grew to manhood. And he was righteous. And he took to wife the damsel, Pat. And she was righteous. And they were righteous together. For they knew not wine nor strong drink. And their status was middle, and they offended not. And the number of their cavities were fewer, and they suffered not irregularity. For they were chosen among all men. And one day, a deep sleep fell upon Richard. And there appeared an angel of the Lord, which said unto him, Fear not, O Richard, for yea, though thy beard be black, and thy jowls pendulous, thou art comely, and glory shall one day be thine. Whence came it that young Richard was filled with the holy spirit of ambition? For he was a low potential high achiever, and he tried harder than he might be number one. And the elders asked, Who shall be our champion, that we may be saved from the scourge of the new dealers? And they writ a classified ad upon the tablet saying, Wanted, future pharaoh. Pigmentation must not be unseemly. Neither shall he partake of the feast of unleavened bread, for they were not equal opportunity employers. Whence came young Richard, and he saith, Yea, verily, I shall sweep the liberals before me, and sting the Democrats with a swarm of wasps. And they found his words gracious, and sent him to the wicked city of Washington. Now it came to pass that Ike ruled over the land, and he summoned young Richard unto him, saying, Art thou clean as a hound's tooth? And Richard went before the media and cried, I am clean, I am innocent, and my wife weareth a Republican cloth coat. Wherefore did Richard sit at Ike's right hand, and it was a time of peace. And the time that Ike ruled over the land was 8 years, and he grew old, wherefore he chose Nixon to reign in his stead, saying, Kings are not always wise, sometimes they're just there. And Nixon journeyed unto the land of the Latins, but they liked him not and spat upon him. And he journeyed to the land of the false prophet Marx, and he went into their kitchens and spat in their borscht. And when he returned, the people muttered, Is he not overmuch righteous? And there rose up against him a young prophet, John, of the tribe of Joseph, a man of many talents, and a leader of a mighty clan. And he took Nixon by his beard and broadcast him down. And Richard's heart grew sad, and he walked through the valley of the shadow of the losers. Whence did he hie back unto California, where he strove to be chief, but he was beaten. And when the scribes came unto him, he said, Yea, I asked for votes, and you gave me the shaft. Woe unto ye, for ye shall not have Nixon to smite around any more. And Richard departed alone, and the liberals laughed and mocked him. And he gat no heat. He died, and he was 4 years dead.
The whole thing.
Oh, okay.
That might be it, of course.
That is it, I think.
Well, that is it.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
That she should be calling any minute now, I think. It's bound to happen.
Yeah.
Hello? Potter's Girls? Punter's in it. He'll be with you in a moment. I mean, Punter's in you. He'll be with it in a... I mean, here's Punter.
Yes, it's Punter's Girls, starring Phil Punter as Punter, a man who gets enjoyment out of employment. Brought to you every week at this time by Buttocks, makers of fine bags. B-U-D-D-O-X. Buttocks Bags.
Sixty-ninth floor. Potter's Girls Employment Agency. Oh, hello, Mr. Potter.
Hello, sweetheart.
Golly, Herb! Here's Punter. Should we tell him now?
Well, there's no time like the present, eh, Dagwood? Say, Punter.
Yeah, what's up, Whipple?
Well, me and old Dagwood here, we thought maybe you'd like to join us for a little fuel injection up on the top of the rocket.
Yeah, we've got a real number meeting us in the final stage room in 5 minutes.
Get it together there, Dagwood. That's right, Punter. You know, she's a real fig. She's an Estonian chick.
Oh, yeah?
And she only knows body English, if you get me.
Boy, am I nervous.
I'll retract your ballpoints, fellas. I'm in love again.
No kidding. Must be a real honey. Who is she?
Well, you don't know her, Whippy. Neither do I.
Oh.
I got a confab with Pentagram to find out more about it.
You're an astrologer? A confab with your astrologer?
That's hideous, Dagwood.
Top of the rocket.
Here's where we get off.
Oh, for Christ's sake, Dagwood.
Come on, Dagwood.
Are you dumb dildos getting off or what?
Oh,
I hope so. Otherwise, I'll have to go home to Blondie.
Hey, Herb. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Listen, that man is on the verge of a nervous disaster.
It's okay, Punk. We're a team.
Blast off, Hardhead.
All right.
Okay, Rosie, get me up to the roto pad and let's take the long way.
Okay, Mr. Punter. Let's dock and lock.
Golly!
Yes, Punter's Girls, brought to you every other week at this time by cocaine, available at your local pharmacy anywhere for $11,000 a kilo. Be with us next time on another channel when Punter finds love below the belt in silly South America.
Golly!
Sarge? They're dropping whistles on us again, Sarge.
I don't know, kid. It's really dangerous out here.
Oh, my God. It's really serious.
Yeah, listen. The colonel said we were going to have to take that whistle before dawn.
Oh, my God. Oh, here it comes again. Now they're frying bacon.
God, that bacon frying, it'll drive me mad.
That's heavy,
man. My microphone not on either.
No, your microphone's not on, and they're frying bacon. And whatever it is, Armageddon. I just want to say that, friend. Yeah. Whatever it is, Armageddon. Okay, Earl, you can take off the frying bacon.
Ou hot dog. Oh, excusez-moi. Don't be afraid, my darling. It's only the fresh chef. Today, or should I say, today, beignet au banane, or banana heads. To prepare, chérie, take you only an hour in advance, cooking only 10 minutes. And my darling, you need only 2 eggs and 9 big bananas, which you must keep in the refrigerator for at least a week. That way they become old friends. It's always best to cook with an old friend. Now, just scrub the ingredients with lye soap and arrange them deliciously around terrine like this, you see? Take out wheat and farina and rice, the salt, and pit them. Now kiss the eggs and drop the eggs into the terrine and crush them with a lead cudgel till the little white part looks like paint flakes. Then mix well while adding progressively some artificial milk. Gently perfume with groat fragments. Let it all stand out for an hour or two. Watch TV or something. Then épluche the bananas, tromp them together on a plate, and put them also under the hot fudge we prepared last week. Burn them till they are mushy. Taste them. Soft powder them with ground glass, and then, my darling, with a fine bottle of Japanese wine, preferably Nippon Cadet 62, extinguish the lights, and eat in the dark. And darling, remember, always serve this dish hot. Till next week, the French chef bid you remember. Le Frankfurter.
Let me in, she cried.
Let me out, he cried.
Sex jail.
Sex jail.
New from paranoid pigs.
Legs Lex and polyhuman fig are underage in sex jail.
She was trapped by her wanton way of life, always wanting something.
He was trapped by her, a smart cookie about to be singed.
Lex, listen to me. Together we could be a team. Just you and me. Together. I'll kill you.
I love you.
Excuse me, honey.
I love you too.
Sex jail!
Sex jail!
For singles only, admitted in pairs. Don't let anyone know the awful beginning of this terrible drama.
Don't watch!
This film is rated 4X for medicinal purposes only.
Don't watch!
Trained seals will be in the aisles for every performance.
And remember, absolutely no one will be permitted to leave the screening of
Sex Jail!
Wonderful.
What a great flick.
I'm glad they're sponsoring the show now.
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Let's get all the money.
I want to mention to you that I was over on Hollywood Boulevard, and there is another pornographic a lovemaking film.
No.
Yes, on Hollywood Boulevard now. I just want to tell you that, like, I, who come from, like, Shaker Heights, Ohio, and I'm not used to seeing, like,
Shake
three and one lickety splits, you know, at what used to play things with Greer Garson in it and everything like that. These big theaters, right, on Hollywood up above La Brea, the big fancy places. You know in your town, the big fancy theater to suddenly be playing Danish Tongue, right? And always with the, you know, it's incredible. I look at it and I get a little shocked, right? Me, super hippie, shocked, right? Because it's moving theaters. They haven't changed the environment. It still looks like Groman's Chinese theater, right? Mm-hmm. Except it's playing totally sexy.
Yeah, it's Groman's Chinese theater.
Groman's Chinese theater, right? And they've got all these strange imprints that people are putting into the seats.
That's right.
It's just, right.
Yeah, and in front of the Chinese theater now in the cement, there's some weird things.
There's some guys stuck in the cement, right? There's a cow in the cement.
Yeah, and some other things, too.
And some other things, too.
Is it true about those Chinese cows?
Yeah, right. Sideways down the Hollywood Boulevard.
Just a couple of things about a friend of mine who is an actress. I had a date with her one evening, and she was very shocked and kind of upset when I saw her. I said, what happened? She said, well, a movie that I did in Denmark, which was kept out of the country by the thought police, the customs officials, has been passed into the country, she discovered, you know, and is now opening where Myra Breckinridge was playing. Right, as the number one feature. And she said that she saw some of the film only to discover to her horror that although the film is a kinky movie anyway about a love relationship between a girl and a guy.
And a goat.
Right, and a goat, that they have added double body shots. In other words,
oh no.
Yeah, and it is now very pornographic.
There's six of them.
There's six of them all going in the mirrors.
Yeah, and so she doesn't know what to do. It's not even her, you know. She didn't have any fun at all.
My goat's confused.
Right.
Myra Breckinridge cost millions of dollars, right?
You think you're a Breckinridge cost. You ought to know what Myra Breckinridge cost.
Yeah, right. Well, mine was made in the East and yours was made in the West.
No, where
if
the
I
West,
may mention
the
that.
The West is best. The West.
Brosh.
Go ahead, Og, my boy. Go ahead. Og B. Og, what do you have to say, Og?
High on smog, you know.
Yes,
breathing again.
Listen, you do Og.
Oh, yes.
I'll do the other one.
Gee, Mr. Suzy. Mr. Suzy? Oh, I can't remember. Colorado Beefsteak Mines.
Right? Colorado Beefsteak Mines, Mr. Suzy. It's close,
yeah.
Right?
Huh. Go away,
golly,
you give me
honey.
Blood poisoning.
That's right.
Do you want to hear the best
Beer
thing I read
river.
All week?
Yeah.
I found two things today that were the best things.
Well, here's one thing.
One of them I found. I never worried a bit. If Tony missed with the tranquilizer, I could always shoot him with the camera. Then I found $3 million worth of boxing bugs are gathering around a ring at Soldier's Field.
$3 million worth of boxing bugs.
$3 million worth of boxing bugs.
How many boxing bugs does it take to fill American Legion Stadium?
That's that's the Boxers' Rebellion, by the way.
And here's something from Eleanor Hitler, the founder of our country.
The floundler. The founder of our country. Right, excuse me.
The flounder.
Flounder of our country.
It was very, very solemn and a little terrifying, the president's wife, Eleanor, said. The crowds were so tremendous, and you felt that they would do anything, if only someone would tell them what to do. So I leaned over and said, Frank, let's have a war.
I want to make myself perfectly clean.
Right. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, right. You see, Roosevelt and Hitler were the same man. Hitler had one problem, he was short. And Roosevelt had a problem.
Short of cash. Why isn't my mic up?
There it is.
Boy. Just leave them all up.
Just leave them all up. It was Franklin Delano Roosevelt who said in his 1933 inaugural address, if we are to go forward, we must move as a trained and loyal army, willing to sacrifice to the good of a common discipline. Because without such discipline, no progress is made.
No leadership becomes effective. We are, I know, ready and willing to submit our lives and properties to such discipline because it makes possible a leadership which aims at a larger good.